taking the field, not the whole of electrical engineering, but simply electron devices, where I've spent most of my professional life. Not all of it. I think there's been a recurrent pattern here in which there were paradigms, there were idealized models which were accepted by the majority of the leading workers in the field until there was evidence, invention, experiment, whatever, that broke the paradigm and led to a new resolution. And to take the case of semiconductors, which is of particular interest to me, it seems obvious that before the transistor was invented, the executives of Bell Laboratories believed, at least Dr. Kelly did, that there had to be a semiconductor amplifier buried somewhere in the possibilities of all of the semiconductor rectifiers that were known at that time. There were germanium rectifiers, silicon rectifiers, galena, all sorts of things had rectified. Surely somewhere here there was a rectifier. There was an amplifier. And that was the situation when Bardeen and Bratton, working under that paradigm, discovered the transistor effect in December of 47. And in discovering it, they interpreted, at least Bardeen did, in terms of a surface effect model. Mm-hmm. And for a short period of time, that surface effect model was governing, we believe, his work, although he didn't say. Certainly it was the accepted view by most of his colleagues at Bell, with the solitary exception of Shockley, who had gone off after being informed of the results and seeing them, secreted himself for a period of several weeks, as I understand it, and came up with the theory of bulk transport of injected minority carriers and the resulting bipolar transistor action. And he postulated and invented the bipolar transistor and the related PN junction diode in a classic patent known in Bell Laboratories as Shockley Case 12 and published as a paper in June of 1948, I believe, as the theory of the junction transistor. And that theory revealed to Bardeen and Bratton and the other colleagues in February of 48, less than 2 months after the original invention of the point contact, changed the paradigm. This became the new paradigm, and there were very large R&D forces thrown at the problem. Interestingly, there was a subordinate paradigm. Along with the point contact transistor, there was an equivalent circuit, a T-equivalent circuit, which was commonly accepted. It was a loop circuit. And that combined paradigm rode along until actually January of 1952, as far as we know, when I had the good fortune to differentiate a simple equation, equation that said the collector current is equal to the emitter current times a transport factor alpha plus a leakage current. And I was bored and had been assigned to work on junction transistors, had thought about the problem as I measured them and looked at the data. And finally, I realized on that January day that I shouldn't be looking at it as a loop circuit. I should be looking at it as a node circuit, because the leakage that was occurring was in parallel with whatever else was happening at the collector. And it was obvious there was something else happening. So I differentiated the equation, and immediately a term stuck out at me. This is differentiating with emitter current constant. a middle current times the partial derivative of alpha with respect to collector voltage. And bingo. Well, of course I knew that. The base layer of the transistor was not fixed in width. As the collector voltage rose, the collector depletion layer got wider and infringed on the base, thus narrowing it and allowing more emitter current to pass. So the collector current for fixed emitter current would rise as the base narrowed and, of course, decreased the amount of recombination in the associated base. And that was the discovery of what came to be called later early effect, although I called it the effects of space charge layer widening in junction transistors. And that was a breach of the Shockley paradigm because Shockley's equations were so beautiful and the transistors basically behaved as he said they would. And this was almost incredible. You had devices that worked across many orders of magnitude in the response of current to voltage. Almost incredible. It was just beautiful. And here is deviation.